Then I first think I would like to say something about yesterday. Actually, the half mirror is a beam splitter. The only mistake I did yesterday was the direction of the thing in the plot, but each step was correct. It's simply that I took it as a kind of element. I didn't look at the direction, but of course, if here we have mirror, then the beam splitter, or half mirror, which is an example of a beam splitter, is also in this direction, because when the photon comes, either goes through or goes up. So, but it is also a half mirror. So you can make such a beam splitter here as a half mirror, for instance, or you can make it with kind of glass, some kind of prism, with some resin in the middle. So this was the half mirror, and also this is in the same direction. So they are all four in the same direction. And then it goes like that. So this was our photon, and this was detector one and detector two. And apart from the fact that this and this should also be in that direction, everything was okay. All mathematical steps were absolutely fine. Of course, again, that means that the photon really goes, when you have a single photon, it really goes through to both paths in order to understand that then you have some interference here, that the two paths recombine in such a way that it goes only to D2 and never to D1. I mean, if you take just a single beam splitter and you send many photons through, half is reflected, half goes through, and there is nothing so peculiar. But when we take one can do this with single photon, and then the situation becomes much more interesting in the sense that to make sense then of the interference, one has to admit that the photon took both ways at the same time in some kind of form. So the wave function of the photon and so on. Because even I say that we can decide to put the second half mirror even later. So one can, so to say, this first, well, I mean, without this, one can interpret the experiment very easily. Half of the photon goes through, and then you will hear click in D2. Half is here reflected, and then you will hear click in D1. And there is nothing so mysterious. You may simply think, okay, there is some process that we cannot describe, but the photon either goes through or is reflected, and that's it. But when you put the second beam splitter, then it is not anymore true. You have really to admit that it took both ways at the same time. Okay, so this was so just the direction. And actually, I don't know, this was an old note because I even wrote a paper on that where, of course, they all go in the same direction. They all go in the same direction in order to have it correct. Okay, after this clarification, so what I would do, I decided to do something that I didn't plan, at least not to do in this form, but there was a lot of discussion concerning so-called quantum erasure, delayed choice, and the possibility to modify the past, which is not true, but there were some kind of discussions of this type. It is, of course, not possible to modify the past. This is clear. But it is a very nice example of quantum correlations between different systems. And this is what I would like to discuss. And more precisely, I go back to our double slit experiment that we had yesterday. So here I have, for instance, electron that go to a certain, actually the wave function, again, exactly as in that case there, goes to through both slits at the same time. And if this is our, put it here, zero, this is the y-axis, the wave function that the particle hits the screen in this particular point y so the probability amplitude, of course, to get the probability you have always to square, it is the sum of two parts, one in which it goes through hole one and one where it goes through hole two, and this is a coherent sum. I really have to do the sum of these two numbers, and later on I will have to take the modulus square. So at this level here, you will take the modulus square. And then it was exactly the double product that generates the interference. If you remember, we had something of this type. This is proportional to E k R1. Kappa is the momentum of the incoming photon plus E I k R2. And this is the first path, this is the length of the second path, and this is delta r, which is equal d theta. Theta is this angle, which, by the way, is also this angle here. So actually, one can also write y as l times theta, where l is the distance between the two, within the double slit and the screen where we make the measurement. So this is already so what we had yesterday. And we remember that we had interference. So we have interference because we have the double products, and we have some maxima and some minima, something of this type, depending where you are. And it was what we did yesterday was also to get the position of the minima. I just recall the results. It was k d l y 2n plus 1 phi. These are the y for which you have the minima. Here, here, and then and so on and so forth. And this is a simple calculation of quantum mechanics, and everything fits. On the other hand, there is the following, that as we saw yesterday, if we put here a detector, we have to entangle this wave function with the wave function of the detector, and then the double product disappears because the two wave functions are basically such that the product is zero. And this is why, actually, if you try to measure where the particle went through, you fail, because, if you do that, you don't have interference anymore, because the double product simply goes away. And this is okay, but the question is, okay, of course, a detector is a big object, as we saw, with a number, Avogadro number of particles, whose then product of wave function is very small. But what if we, instead of doing something like that, we could try to put a single particle here? A single particle could tell us if the electron went through slit number one or slit number two. So the question is a single particle would be enough to destroy the interference or not? So not a detector, but a single particle. For instance, we could imagine to use a photon and the polarization of a photon, which can be horizontal or vertical, and say that if the our electron goes through hole one, then the photon is horizontally polarized. And if the electron goes to hole two, then this photon changes the polarization and goes to vertical. So through interaction, photon-electron interaction, something of this type. So then you have to modify our state, so the wave function becomes something of this type, psi 1 y, and then photon horizontally polarized plus psi 2 y, and the photon vertically polarized. Now, I have to be a bit careful with the notation, because I'm using the wave function notation for the electron on the y-axis and the cat notation. I could transform, I could also use a cat notation for that. This is just easier for things that we will see. So, but this is the full state of the system now. It is, we have the entanglement of the electron going through slit one with a photon that I can put it here. I can imagine that I have here a photon. When the electron goes here, the photon changes its polarization from H to V, from horizontal to vertical, and then I have this state. And then the question is, do I have interference on the screen now? The answer is no. You don't have interference on the screen because this single photon is enough to kill the it is enough to kill the double product. So because if you consider now, so to say, the squared of this wave function, you would have to multiply something of C1 star y h plus C2 star y v times C1 y plus C2 C1 y h plus C2 y vertical. And if you do this simple calculation, the fact that again horizontal and vertical are orthogonal in a way which is very much similar to the detector of yesterday, then you just get that this is equal C1y squared plus C2y squared. So the double product disappeared because when you have HV, that would give you the interference. This is zero because of this feature, that for the single photon, of course, elect horizontal, vertical, these are orthogonal state, so this is zero, this product is zero, then you get, instead of getting something like that, you would get basically something of this type, I mean, two bumps of, actually, it would not go to zero in the middle, it will somehow something like that. I mean, some classical result in which you have more hits here, a bit less heat here, but you still have in the middle more heats here, and then you have no interference, no fringes or whatsoever. And then you understand that a single particle can already do the job. It is sometimes said that it is like that because the this photon, but of course we can use whatever particle, it doesn't matter, but we say this photon carries the information of which way, because we can measure the photon, and if we measure the photon and we find that it is horizontally polarized, we know that the particle went through hole one, and we find that it is vertically polarized, we know that it went through hole two. So it looks, and actually we could decide to do, it doesn't matter if you first, the electron hits the screen, or if you make first the measurement of the photon polarization. You would find the same results on your screen, no interference, and so on. So up to now is everything fine. But then, so what people thought is that, okay, but we could somehow do a measurement on the photon that cancels the which way information. What does it mean? Suppose that instead of measuring horizontal or vertical, we measure in a direction which is 45 degrees. So let me be more precise with some. With some formula. So of course, horizontal vertical is only a possible basis for our photon. We could choose also another one. For instance, we could use some diagonal basis. Let me take a simple one, dd prime. So horizontal, vertical would be something like that. Vertical, horizontal, and now we take something like which is 45 degrees. Something of this type, d. And this is 1 over square root of 2, 1 over square root of 2 minus 1 over square root of 2, 1 over square root of 2. Horizontal, vertical. Okay, so this is just a change of basis. Of course, I can rotate this and get that horizontal, vertical is 1 over square root of 2 minus 1 over square root of 2. This is an orthogonal matrix which you can turn around. D prime. And now I ask, okay, what if I write my state not on the basis horizontal or vertical, but on the basis d and d prime? So why do I do it? Actually, because, you know, d is a combination of horizontal or vertical. So you actually, by doing like that, you lose somehow, and I will explain in which sense, the knowledge through which hole the electron of the original interference went through. So the new state, so our state is this one. Let me write it again, show it again, it is this one. But now I rewrite it in terms of the new basis. So I do a basis change. I think I saw a dog. And then you get that the new quantum state is psi1y, so electron going through the first hole. 1 over square root of 2. Horizontal. Here I just have to be careful with the sign. D. Horizontal, right, D. I think that if I'm not wrong, it should be d minus d prime. And this is the first plus psi2y, 1 over square root of 2. And this should be d plus d prime. OK. And now the question is, I can do a short rewriting of this sketch. Well, where are the chalks?
To the left side. Right on the bar.
Here?
Yes.
No, but these are very small pieces. Yesterday there was a wonderful. someone came and stole it because. These are pieces which are exactly as large as the one I have. But there was a beautiful. Okay. So first, let me write again these states in which I isolate the piece with d. So I get something like d over square root of 2. Psi1y plus psi2y. And then plus d prime over square root of 2. And then it will be minus psi1y plus psi2y. And here comes the point. Thank you very much. Again, if you try to just, I mean, all this manipulation doesn't really matter if you then calculate the probability to find the electron on the screen, you will find no interference again, because it's not that you can manipulate and change that. But suppose that now you make, even much later, suppose you do your experiment, then you get the heat of the screen, somewhere and so on, and you don't see any interference on the screen. But the second photon goes away, even to very far, to Mars, and there is someone which measures which measure the if the photon is d or d prime, not h or v, d or d prime. And suppose that he finds, for instance, he will find then in some case that it is d, and in some cases, half of the case, he will find d prime. But when he finds d, the corresponding wave function, so is actually this one. When he finds d prime, the corresponding wave function is actually this one. So what does it actually mean? Suppose that here we have again our list. So we have, again, Alice on the screen, and Bob measuring d or d prime. So Alice will find on her screen some set. We'll find actually hit in y1. The first electron will hit in y1. The second electron will hit in y2 and so on, y3. So she makes a kind of list where the electron hits. And if she puts all together, she will get something of this type concerning the counting. And this is actually y, and this is actually y equals 0. And this is the position. So she finds no interference. I mean, this would be the counting in y1. This could be the different points where she measured. But then they can correlate. For instance, Alice, when Alice measured y1, the corresponding photon which went very far was, for instance, in the state d. When Alice measured d2, maybe eventually also d. But y3 could be d prime, and so on. You will have some list of this type. And suppose that now Alice and Bob speak with each other, and they say, OK, instead of looking to all your distribution, just check the cases where I measure d, not where I measure d prime. So just isolate these events here. So this one you let it out, and this one you take, and so on and so forth. Then, considering that d is entangled with that, Alice will find that for that subset, not for all of them, she finds again the interference. Oops, this. So this is because, of course, that correlation is still there. So it means that for that subset of events, when Bob measured D, then you still have the interference. It was still hidden there. So, but of course, Alice doesn't see any interference. Only when she gets the knowledge, so erase some of the electrons, some of the events which actually would correspond to d prime, then she finds again the interference popping out. So the interference was inside her data, but she couldn't see those data. She actually didn't even know if that photon was somehow entangled or not. Only later, when she has the information, she can go through and understand that. She could have also decided to go to d prime. Right? In that case, the corresponding wave function would have been this one. There is an extra minus. That means, so let's say if I square this one, I get the usual interference. When you square this one because of the extra minus, when you have a minimum, you have a maximum, and vice versa. You would have something of this type. So these are called fringes, this one. And the other anti-fringes. So if they, these are the, of course, if you do the sum of all data, you find something with no interference. So the no interference case was the sum of two different interference. But the sum of them completely erased the interference, so the interference pattern. But when you get back the information, either of d or d prime, then you can reconstruct one and the other. And of course, it's not true that you change the past. I mean, what Alice saw on her screen was seen. This is the list of events, y1, y2, and so on. It's simply that there was some more information that was hidden to her. And you get this information back only when Bob tells you to which y corresponds, if d or d prime. I know this is subtle, but this was done, by the way, in experiments. And this caused a lot of discussion. Wait, let's see if I have this paper here, just to tell you how they are, what is the name. Yeah, so this is, for instance, this paper, Double Slit Quantum Eraser. Just write the Valbon et al. Fizrev A 65 0 3 3 8 1 8. Double slit quantum eraser. And this is exactly, I mean, the idea is exactly the same, and one can see also the experimental device that this was done. I find it is a very interesting example of entanglement. Sometimes misinterpret it as future past. No, this is not true. But of correlations of different and even very far away observers, this is true. So the lack of interference can be the sum of two different interferences. And you can get back if, of course, you have a photon and you measure that photon in that direction. Because if you do measures back horizontal and vertical, you would see nothing. So you cannot disentangle it, because that would, that in the two cases, it is hole one and the hole two. OK. So this was this double slit quantum, this thing. Let's see what I have now. And then there is another paper of the same type, which is delayed choice quantum eraser. So that exactly you can do this later. Let me also cite this for completeness by Kim et al. Fizrevlet '184. And this is double delayed choice quantum eraser. Okay, the next step that I start before a break is then the coherence that I would like to show more in detail with a model for the coherence. So again, actually, even the single photon that we have here that is entangled with the electron going through to the double slit is a kind of decoherence, but a soft one, because it's only one particle. On the other hand, if you have many, many particles, like the case of the detector yesterday, this is a very strong decoherence. And this is, of course, then the question is, how do we go from one to the other? But what we didn't do also in this case was the, so to say, how the time gets in. So we just said, when the electron goes, for instance, through this second hole, then our photon automatically switches from the polarization H to the polarization V. So actually, this doesn't happen instantaneously. There is always a kind of interaction and a time evolution. Unless we take it, so there is no measurement. There's a unitary evolution in the framework of quantum mechanics. So now the question is to develop a model, an approach, in order to see how the entanglement of one quantum state that can be an electron spin, but can be whatever, with, let's say, an environment. An environment can be everything, can be also a detector, but not necessarily. Can be also some particles of air or whatever stuff. Of course, this is a very difficult problem because it involves many particles. So one has to model it in a way which is as simple as possible, but it contains some of the main features to see this kind of things. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let me see how do we do. First, let me just, okay, we use, so let's say the coherence. This is the topic. So we use the spin of the electron. So let me just recall, the electron can be in two states, spin up or spin down. Can be this or this. Or it can be in a superposition. So the state of the electron can be in a superposition of both. Let's say a simple superposition in which we have an equal amount of up and down is this one. Now, of course, very often what one also introduces is the so-called statistical operator, rho, which is something like that. And I mean, if I put it into the base of plus and minus, I get something of this type, plus, minus, then there is a matrix, which is in this case 1/2, 1/2, 1/2, 1/2, and then I have plus, minus. And this is, actually this is, so this is the matrix and these are the matrix element. Look, the trace is one. This is a property which is general in the framework of this statistical operator. And these are actually the probabilities. So 1/2 that the probability is up, 1/2 that the probability is down. But there is something more. There is this off-diagonal term which tells us that we have a quantum superposition. So one of the tricks to go from classical, so from quantum, a quantum system with a superposition to a, let's say, a classical system in which you have just a lack of knowledge, is somehow to get these two to zero. If this, if the diagonal term are zero, you would get something like 1/2 plus plus, plus 1/2 minus minus. And if you, this is exactly the statistical operator that one has even in statistical physics, which is just sum over probability and n, where you have a basis. This is the general case. In this case, the basis is only plus and minus. And these probability are not quantum probabilities. These are just some lack of knowledge of the system. The system is either in one or in the other, but you do not know in which one. Question? So, but of course, when you start with that, this is not zero. This is definitely not zero. These are some numbers which are there. Of course, the first thing that you can do, and this goes back to the case of yesterday. Suppose that we have a detector, a Stern-Gerlach detector, for instance, which measure if that electron is in plus or in minus. Then our new state, psi total, after the interaction with the electron, would be plus detector plus, plus minus detector minus. So this is our electron being plus. This is the detector showing that the electron is plus, plus minus d minus. In this case, the statistical operator is a much more complicated object because the basis now is not only plus minus. There is also the basis of the detector. In the easiest case, you should take detector plus and detector minus. The basis is already by four elements. So actually, in that case, you would get something which is more complicated. It would be in the basis plus d plus, plus d minus. I just write the result, minus d plus, minus d minus. And then the matrix would be 4×4. And in that particular case, it would be something like that. 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 1/2, 0, 0, 1/2. And here is again plus d plus, plus d minus, minus d plus, minus d minus. Well, you may say this is not so interesting. Of course, we have an enlarged state because now there is not only the electron, there is also the state of the detector associated to the electron. And actually, this is a simplification because the number of the states of the detector is gigantic, as we will see later. But we if we drastically simplify it to being also a two-state object, we have now four states altogether. But what one usually does is not then to study the full statistical operator, because actually we don't really care about the detector. We care about the original electron. So one introduced the so-called reduced statistical operator. Now, I think that this statistical operator were done surely at some courses somewhere. Because these are also part of so statistical physics and quantum statistics and so on. So this was done. This is, so basically, the statistical, the reduced statistical operator is rho reduced. It means that you sum over all the states that are not the electron. So in this case, this is just the sum over the state of the detector that we say, simplifying, that you have only two. So detector pointing up plus detector pointing down. So basically, you then get rid of all the d plus d minus by doing the squeeze. The result is again a 2×2 matrix as that one, but now there is a change, plus minus, is that here we have 1/2, and then we have the squeeze of the detector state squared, and this is actually 1 because the detector, whatever is its state, is normalized to 1. But then we have the off-diagonal elements. These are, there is d minus d plus, and then there is also d plus, which is 1, so I can neglect it. This is 1/2 d plus d minus, and this is again 1/2 only, 1/2 times 1, so. And this again plus minus. And now you see that, again, we have the superposition of the detector, a big object pointing into two different directions. This is, as we discussed yesterday, to a very good approximation zero. Because this is the overlap wave function between two macroscopic bodies which differ from each other. The overlap of two Gaussian already is basically zero if you have to multiply this to a number of Avogadro, you get a ridiculously small number. So this matrix basically squeezed down to 1/2, 0, 0, 1/2, to very good extent zero here, to very good extent here. So if you then do the trace, if you sum up again everything, you go back to something like 1/2 plus 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 1/2 minus minus. plus something which is very small. Some very small things, which would be the off-diagonal term, which are not exactly zero, but they're to a very good extent zero. Then one may say, okay, then we solve the problem of quantum mechanics in the sense that we went from a state in which the off-diagonal term telling us that there is a superposition to a diagonal statistical operator, which means we just have some lack of knowledge on the system, but it is either in plus or only in minus. No, it is not true that we solve quantum mechanics. It simply means that the two different parts, because of the detector, decohered, but they are still there. So the cat state, and here the cat is the detector, is still in a superposition of both, of detector pointing up and detector pointing down. It's simply that, as we already discussed yesterday, this superposition is basically not visible anymore because of the orthogonality of the states of the detector, or the cat states, are basically orthogonal. The living cat and the dead cat are orthogonal. But still, we see emerging some classical features. We see that emerging, right? We see a classical feature because now the off-diagonal term goes zero and we get the usual statistical operator as when we do statistics, and this is exactly what one gets. This is similar to the case of yesterday with the double slit entangled, but it is just redone that by using the statistical operator, which is formally very nice and everything. But still, this is not the solution. And I still didn't put in the time, and this is what I have to do next. So here there is again no time evolution. It says when we put the detector, immediately the detector switches to pointing up or pointing down depending on the state of the electron. But of course this cannot be instantaneous. There should be some evolution also for that. And this is what we start to do. So still the coherence. So this I can leave. I will just change the state of the electron now. Okay, now instead of taking, let's say, a simple superposition of this type, I don't have the other one, I do like this. And this is, I just take A and B for generality in general. So A and B. Of course, A squared plus B squared must be equal 1. And now, so this is our electron, which is in a superposition in this state psi. So here is our electron here. Let's say spin up, but just to make this is like a small magnet, sometimes pointing up, sometimes pointing down, that depends on that. But then we take also other electron around. 1, 2, 3, each of them either pointing up or pointing down. And of course we have some interaction among them because of magnetic interaction. These are electrons are in the end like small magnets which influence each other. How? Well, this can be done. For instance, if we take the interaction of the first two, so of our state psi with the first electron, let's call the corresponding Hamiltonian H1, we can say that this is H bar. Some coupling constant G1, which is related to the distance of the two electrons. For the moment, let's take a constant, who cares? And then the product of the spin operator of our state here and the spin operator acting on the electron 1. So this tells us the interaction of the two. This is one of the simplest things. I just recall that, we'll do it also later, but sigma z plus is equal plus sigma z minus is equal minus. If you use a matrix formulation, sigma z corresponds to 1, 0, 0, minus 1. So this is one of the three Pauli matrices. Of course, the same can be done for the other. The interaction of our state with 1, our state with 2, they will also interact with each other, but Let's neglect it for simplicity. So,
but H2 will be exactly the same.
So the full Hamiltonian, it is then the H bar, the sum of kappa from 1 to n, where n is the number of these additional electrons. This is our environment. Environment, detector, whatever you want. So this is our quantum system. This is all the rest that gets in. Sum over kappa, then we have the coupling constant g kappa, sigma z kappa. So actually, the system, of course, so you minimize the energy when the one, for instance, is pointing up and the other is pointing down. This is what they like. This is what they like because, you know, like two magnets, they like to put like that. So north, south, south, north. This is trivial. This is what you get. So because when one is plus, one is, for instance, up and the other, is for instance, is down, then you get exactly this configuration which minimizes the energy. And of course, now we have our N interaction, and we can then so study the evolution of our system. Of course, what it is here written for our electron here is true for all the other electrons, simply that each one has the corresponding operator acting on it, but this is absolutely the same. So our initial state is this psi. Each of these electrons of environment will also have some state, which is some superposition of up and down. So let's say the environment state at time equals 0, it is the multiplication of k from 1 to n of some number alpha kappa plus beta kappa minus kappa. And of course, for instance, you can take that for the first electron is pointing down, then it will be alpha 1 equal 1, beta 1 equal 0. Or you can take that the second is in a 50-50 superposition. You get 1 over square root of 2, and here also 1 over square root of 2, and so on. So whatever, you can put whatever numbers. And now, so that our initial state at t equals 0, our total state is psi, which is our electron here, times the what I call the environment at t equals 0. But as I said, now I don't want to do only so kind of switch of the environment responding to that. I would really see the time evolution of all these states. Well, but this is pretty known in quantum mechanics. This is psi tot t equals 0. This is our psi tot at the time t. The solution of the Schrödinger equation, written in terms of cats, tells us that if we know the state at t equals 0, the state at the time t is just given by the one at t equals 0 where we left this time evolution operator acting on it. This is e minus I ht. I put here h bar to 1, as we always do in physics, in particle physics. And now I tell you the result. Then there are actually some calculations that already in this model are not that trivial, even if it is simple, because we have just interaction of our electron with 10 other electrons. But still, it's not that, to do the things properly requires some time. I mean, as soon as you have some environment of some sort, that means a lot of particles. A lot of particles also will mean some calculation issue. It's not yet enough.
y.
Well, first point, how is our state at the time t? One can let this operator acting on that. I put the results. This can be easily verified. Psi dot at the time t. So I just let the Hamiltonian act on it, and you get something of the type A plus multiplication of all the state of the environment, where now alpha kappa that I minus I constant g kappa t plus kappa plus beta kappa e g kappa t minus kappa plus beta minus alpha kappa I g kappa t plus kappa. You see, when I get minus, I just get switch the sign. So this is our wall quantum states, of course, in this difficult system with all our environment, which get entangled and so on. And everything, I mean, up to now is just a calculation. Of course, what one should do now is to calculate the, okay, the full statistical operator is a monstrum. So this object here, at the time t, is a matrix with 2n plus 1, 2n plus 1 entries. Gigantic, of course, because you have the state of our original electron and the state of each one of those. All together, we have a gigantic matrix. This is our original electron. These are the n electrons of the environment. And you get a huge stuff. But of course, what one should then take into account is the reduced. And the reduced is much easier because you basically project out all the states of the environment. So you do plus one, plus first electron one, rho plus one, plus minus one, rho minus one. And actually, this is not really the case because this is just when we have n equal one, sorry. Let me take first the case when we just have one electron of the environment, then the reduce would be that one. But when you have already two, then it is more complicated because the basis would include plus one plus two, plus one minus two, and so on. There are already four that you have to sum over. But you can redo the game. So in principle, you can define a row reduce. It doesn't matter how many you have, but of course, the bigger is your environment, the more you have to do. Now, in the case in which I put only one, I just write the result of the calculation because this is relatively easy. This is a squared plus plus, and this is expected. So this is the first element in the diagonal, plus b squared minus minus, and this is also expected. And then there is plus a b star set of t plus minus plus a star b set star of t minus plus. And this set of t, I put the result, I urge you to verify it. It's not a difficult calculation, it's just some. It's something of this type, plus I alpha 1 squared minus beta 1 squared sinus 2 g1 t. Well, you have some fluctuating function, nothing particular, because the environment is now only by one particle. But when you do the same for n, everything, all these things is still valid. It's simply that this function set of t gets the product of all of them. Now I put the result. I mean, you can already see how such a simple model actually becomes rather involving. For n, the only thing that you have to do is that set will be the product cap 1 over n set kappa of t. So this is set 1 of t, set 2 of t, set n of t. That's it. That would be, so to say, the end. The interesting thing, and now I show with some numerical evaluation, is that this function set of t has for typical features that it shows is that it starts definitely with 1. For set 0 is always 1. You can see it here because actually that would be our set 1, set of t, set 1 of t in that particular case because you have only one electron in the environment. Cos of 0 is 0, sinus is 0 is 0, so at equals 0 this disappears, we get 1 for all of them. But when you have many particles, so when you have only one particle, it is some periodic function. But when you have many particles, it goes very fast to 0, and then basically it stays to 0. Then what it happens later on depends on the details of the model, how you take the initial coefficients. But basically you see that this environment, and you see the time evolution, kills very fast the coherence of the original electron state. It goes down very fast. Actually, one can show that it doesn't matter how complicated your model is, at a certain point, this set function will go back to 1 again. And this is the so-called Poincaré time. So it doesn't matter how complicated is your system, you decohere it, but at a certain point, this decoherence will go back, this coherence will come back. But usually you have to wait much longer than the life of the universe, actually. Order of magnitudes longer. For a system involving some Avogadro number, it is much longer than that. And so the Poincaré time depends on the detail, but in this model, as long as n is finite, you always have these features that the system goes back. So at a certain point, your electron is again cohered. So it starts with a certain coherence. The interaction with the environment destroys it because this function goes to 0. So just if you put the elements of this matrix, you have, of course, a squared, b squared, a b star set of t, a star b set star t. Actually, it should be, instead of plotting set, they should plot set of t, the modulus, because in general it is a complex because you see the I, so put the modulus. But it becomes, the modulus becomes very short, so you basically can neglect this. But if you wait very long, it goes back again, which is pretty interesting. It means that, well, you can get really the situation where it never goes back only if the environment is infinite, has an infinite number of degrees of freedom. Or in that particular case, if you have infinite electron in the environment. But as long as it is finite, you will have, at some point, some coming back of the system. And OK, I think it is a good point to do a break. And just after the break, I will show some numerical result exactly for the system on the blackboard.